Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I mean, after two well-earned weeks of paternity leave, our guy JP is back. It's so damn good to see you.
It's great to see you. Do I look extremely tired or run down? Because I don't feel it, by the way.
I'm not trying to kiss your booty. I thought you looked good today. I was like, JP's looking really good for somebody that's got a, you know, 2 or 3 week old baby in the house.
I did wonder if I'm overcompensating a little bit too much and trying to like make sure that everyone knows this is not going to impact anything in the slightest way. But I genuinely do feel like the first couple weeks, now maybe Elise, we've talked about it. Elise is like, this has been way better than kid number one.
No. I felt the same way about the twins than I did Liv, because the first one, you just, everything is a new lesson.
Yeah.
And you usually I learn lessons the hard way, which means I got to be kicked in the head 2 or 3 times before I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. I'll learn the lesson. But I think you're right on track. But I will say, even before you opened your mouth, I walked in. I was like, JP's looking good.
Okay, good. Yeah, I like that you monitored it too, by the way, because I would monitor it just the same way. If you had a kid and was gone for 2 weeks, I'd be like, is he going to look rugged? Is he going to be, what's he
already
looking?
Look like Vince Vaughn on heroin.
All right,
you had a newborn at 40.
Let's not go that far. We've all seen Vince Vaughn on heroin.
It's just not going to look good. Much like the Browns didn't look good yesterday, I will say, you know I hate London games. Unless you're going to them, it is just a massive inconvenience. You have to wake up earlier. You have to be ready to watch football earlier. I like my 1 o'clock time slot.
Yeah, as Goodell, by the way, is pictured there in the London game. And I'm convinced now he's making this international play just so he can visit all the different spots he's always wanted to go to.
I will say, when they showed him talking, they did the photo op with the team members of the Women's Flag Football League around him.
Yeah.
That looked like the worst conversation ever. Well, no one was having fun in that conversation.
There was the weird Ted Lasso, Jason Sudeikis, like back and forth, where it seemed like Sudeikis was having a great time, but Goodell just could not crack a smile.
I think that just might be Roger.
Is that what that is?
I think
you're meeting Ted Lasso in London, and you look like you're bothered.
And I will say, like, of all the Jason Sudeikis is such a great energy, such a great hang. He's not too far from Ted Lasso as a character. Like, it's a very positive dude. If you can't crack a smile around Sudeikis, I think you just might be a knob.
And that might just be what Goodell is, as I think everyone just funds his vacations to Europe in different spots.
Just a $50 million knob. We should all be so lucky. Now, to the actual game, I'm so glad we got the 3 extra hours. As much as I hate London football, I needed every bit of time away after that game. I was so... I was just such in a great spot after that loss. I was so mad that we immediately went and helped my mom move stuff into her new house.
Oh, you didn't do the 1 o'clock slate?
No. I checked out. I came back, I think at about 4, when I finally checked back in with football. But even then, it was on the TV. I was so mad. And there was one guy in particular that I was really mad at, that, man, did I need that little time away. I didn't even rewatch the game. You know how I go,
yeah,
I'll watch it and then rewatch it at night. And then I'll even go back and watch like the all 22 on Monday. I have not watched anything but the first run, because it was when a team plays well, when the players play well enough to win, and the little things are what sink you from a win that was fated to you. Like, Carson Wentz was clearly not healthy in that game. They had 5 offensive lines.
One shoulder by the time the game was ending.
Third string center. Only 1 starting offensive lineman. They had Van Ginkel was out as well. You had some great momentum early in that game. To watch that team lose, and it goes a lot to Kevin Stefanski, really just really just didn't sit right with me.
So I thought it was interesting. So as you kind of veered away from it, I plugged myself deeper into it. So I had the 1 o'clock games on, and I made sure that was on mute, and then I put on Jeff and Tyvis, and I just wanted to hear the post game, and I took the post game from the entire beginning all the way up to the very end, and I couldn't escape the idea that it felt like what we've been screaming for a year with Stefanski had finally come home to roost with all the fans. It felt like everything we've been talking about with the, and that's more than just the timeouts and the decision making. I'm talking about the lack of an offense. It has finally hit a boiling point for the fans. And I was like, so you guys all woke up. It felt like the eyes were all wide awake. Everyone's there. And they're just finally now on the same page.
If you remember after the Baltimore game, that's the first time it felt like fans had taken the big hard turn on Kevin, and then you got the reprieve because of the Green Bay win. And in a lot of ways, I thought yesterday was the exact opposite of the Green Bay win, because you were the better team for 57 minutes. And then, quite frankly, your coaching staff, and it's not just Kevin, but your coaching staff allowed a little bit of an advantage to Minnesota, and they stole the win from you. Whereas in Green Bay, they were the clearly better team for 56 minutes, and then you just got a couple good breaks and you got that win. This was the opposite of that, but I'll just say this. Specific to one specific play, on 3rd and 11, the whole game, Kevin had been running the most conservative game plan, and rightfully so, right? What have they tried to do? We're going to try and ball control. We're going to keep away. We're not going to give your offense too many chances to win. We're going to trust our defense. And so many people have done this thing and said this thing of, oh, Kevin was trusting his defense. Okay, except for the whole 3rd and 11 play.
Well, and all the plays leading up to that. You had one first down in the entire fourth quarter. It's not as if they were able to move the ball at will and then all of a sudden decided on 3rd and 11, okay, we gotta trust our defense now.
So this is like a, I don't know if you watch during a fantasy football matchup where you're like, all right, I've got a 97% chance to win and a 3%.
I'm kicking Hacksaw's butt this week.
You really are. Hacksaw had three guys bye.
He didn't put his roster together.
Did not set his lineup.
I don't know Hacksaw, but I want to be like, can you text Hacksaw? I don't want to win this way.
Four weeks in, Hacksaw's gone full Hacksaw.
And my team's actually like played well too. That's the sad part. You want that win on like a bad game.
So in the fourth quarter,
yeah,
I was like 60% leaning on Stefanski because he was, it just felt like they had started to try and do more stuff in the fourth quarter with a guy in his first start. That 3rd and 11 though pissed me off. It's like you run, and then on 3rd and 11, which some of the longer plays is where Dylan Gabriel did have accuracy issues. That play basically it was a five timeout swing by the time Minnesota scored.
You have the lead and you have 3:27 left in the fourth quarter. You win those games.
Yep.
In the NFL, if you have a good head coach, you win those games. Instead, we went 3:27 and then you, by the time you were punting the ball, you'd gone -1 yard and it was 3:16. You took 11 seconds off the clock. I have seen Andy Reid. I have seen any great Shanahan, all these guys. We have watched them take off, and Andy Reid gets criticized sometimes for his late game management, but we've been able to watch some of the really good head coaches just milk 3:20 dry until the end of that game, and he wasn't able to pull that off, wasn't even close.
And here's the thing. You still might have lost if you had just run the ball on 3rd and 11, but they would have had one less thing to play with. And you gave them the one less thing to play with. And so, I guess, and by the way, because I know people want to put this on the defense, we'll get to the defensive side of this.
Yeah.
At no point should you have been in cover 2 or cover 6 on that final drive. Denzel Ward should not be in some sort of zone defense when you've got Jordan Addison and you can just neutralize a player by just putting Denzel Ward on him. That's on Jim Schwartz. That's on whoever called that play defensively.
Yeah, cover 6 in that moment. What's interesting is that Ward after the game was not that he could run from it, but he at least owned up to it in an interesting way. He was like, that one's all on me. There were some weird post-game comments. I listened to all of Tyvis and Jeff last night after the game, or yesterday after the game. Like, Myles Garrett at halftime, talking about how he felt exhausted because of the London trip. I'm like, who just admits that?
Myles.
It was so weird. It was like, why?
He's the only guy who would admit that in-game.
Right, did you feel tired, because of the London game? He's like, well, at halftime, yeah, I was pretty exhausted. What? Why would you say that?
I just think...
Why would you tell us that?
So, I felt like Sunday could have been a pivotal game. Where going into last week, when you weren't here, one of the things I said was, a lot of people were talking about, well, just let's see the offense take a jump. And I'm like, no, you made a quarterback switch. And you did it to spark this team. And the only way that truly works 100% across the board is if you win the game. And because you lost that game, and because I do put it on coaching, because I do put it on situational football as led by the coaching staff, this is the kind of game that we can look back in 5 weeks from now. And if they don't have another win, this is where it fell out. This is where you lost a team. That's how bad I thought Kevin, and to a lesser degree, but still, Jim Schwartz was in this game.
The schedule will get easier. I looked it up earlier today. AFC teams that have one win or fewer on the season, there's six of them in the AFC right now, including the Browns. We take on all five before this season is done. Like, you're going to have opportunities to try to get wins. The schedule does get a little bit nicer, more than a little bit, a lot nicer. But I don't know that Stefanski knows how to win games at this point. I think he's been stuck in this losing cycle. And when you watch this game, it's just what it felt like to me. You had the lead, and we've seen this time and time again now. He has the lead. He's got the upper hand. And then he just changes the entirety of how he's coaching a game, and he just waits to just slip on the banana peel and fall over.
And so it's funny. Earlier this season, we talked about, do we have the wrong offensive mastermind named Kevin because of the success Kevin O'Connell has had with a myriad of different quarterbacks, and not just good offenses. They've just won. No matter who the quarterback is, they just win, and they win games they're not supposed to win. That was the superior Kevin outcoaching the inferior Kevin, because he got out. I mean, the way that Kevin O'Connell got him to use his timeouts there inside the final minute 20, which absolutely killed any chance you had.
The one at 54 seconds.
Yep.
Well, you let them reset and figure everything out. What are you doing in that moment? And I get at that point, Kevin thought that he was trying to play to when he gets the ball back to have more time. But all you did was set the Vikings up for success.
Yes. And here's the thing. You cannot, in a season where the margin to win in that game was paper thin, you cannot be the reason your team lost. And if you are, you don't have to just worry about fans turning on you, media turning on you. You have to worry about losing the locker room. And that right there, listen, it's not the conversation for today. I know people want to have the should they fire Kevin. That's incredibly premature. But the one way I think Kevin can lose his job this year is losing the locker room. And I don't know if I'm in that locker room. I don't know how I don't feel like the coaches. We the players, played well enough to win. Mm-hmm. They weren't perfect, and neither were the Vikings. But I said, I think the Browns had the better game. The players played the better game. They played more winning football than the Vikings did. And to have coaching be the reason you lose this early in the season when you're already 1-3, oh, that gets unforgivable real quick.
Yeah, they flat out got out-coached there. There's no other way to look at it. You mentioned KOC, because now we're back calling him KOC.
Yeah, I mean, when you get that kind of win, you are KOC.
And it never left. Who are we kidding? He gave, everyone always gets on Stefanski for not showing enough passion or not getting angry enough. And I thought it was interesting. Kevin O'Connell, in the final play, or second to final play, what turned out to be the second to final play, the one, the Dylan Gabriel Hail Mary, essentially, that then they had to redo, he showed more emotion lighting up that ref for granting the timeout that he tried to call. He tried to call it.
Still one of the funniest things in the world.
And he looked at that ref as if he walked into his house and basically slept with his wife and was the meanest person imaginable. Like cross boundaries you can't cross, okay? Like, that's how, like, so much disdain at this ref for granting the timeout that he wanted. And O'Connell felt like he was that way the entire fourth quarter. And you just don't see that with Kevin.
He looked at that ref the way Ben Johnson looked at Aditi Kinkabwala for asking a simple question.
Like, poor Aditi, man.
I know. By the way, way to show your ass, Ben Johnson, way to coach Kevin O'Connell. That's the difference between...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
winning and losing in the NFL. To the defensive side of yesterday's issue, the one thing that I will say that I absolutely agree with, I put yesterday on Kevin Stefanski and then to a lesser degree, Jim Schwartz, because I just don't think you should be going zone when you have two really strong man covers, even if or man corners, even if Greg Newsome was a little touch and go in the second half. But I will say, if you've got, if the other team, even if they have one timeout, two timeouts, whatever it is, they need to go 80 yards. You're the best defense in the NFL. If that's true, you have to get that stop. So even though the defense isn't in my top two of my blame chart, it factors in there about, you know, three or four, because you have to get that stop if you are as good as you say you are. And all they do is say how damn good they are.
No question. You got a journeyman quarterback, a backup at this point that is getting a chance to start. He's already been injured in the game and he's asked to go 80 yards. You should stop that. Nine times out of 10, it should be easy to stop that. The surprising part to me was the idea that, and listen, Denzel Ward getting beat by Justin Jefferson isn't really a problem. The three straight completions to Jordan Addison, it happens, I guess. He's a good wide receiver, too. It's just the in the totality throughout the game, how often Justin Jefferson was getting the better part of Denzel Ward.
Yeah, and it, like, here's the thing. That's the one thing I will say, because I thought Denzel did the right thing. If you do what Denzel did after the game, which is he's like, I have to do that. That's my job.
Yeah.
That's enough. I don't need to come out and scream on the radio about you because you actually said something real. You took personal ownership instead of Mr. We have to coach better, catch better, throw better, run better, squat better. Like that to me, like what Denzel showed yesterday was leadership. And it's not that you get the Peterlin pass.
No,
you do get a small, maybe you get a lessened reprimand. If in that moment, even again, I'm not putting it all on Denzel. You need to make those stops. You own that, and I can live with that a little bit more.
He was targeted eight times, five completions against him, and the passer rating turned out to be about 118 in that game, which, for proper context, that would win you league MVP. Like for some reason, Denzel Ward was just not Denzel Ward yesterday, and it showed. And it showed on that final drive as well. It was just a very disappointing thing, though. But I don't think it was Stefanski thinking that the defense would rise to the occasion. I think he blundered it before we even got there.
Yeah, and I think that's, again, where the defense gets bumped down the blame org chart, because I just think, and it wasn't just, I put a lot on that 3rd and 11, because it was the most obvious case of what in the blue hell are you doing? Like, I can't lose games on coaching when you're on year six, when Jim Schwartz is in year three here, when you're supposed to be the Shanahan, the McVay, the KOC, when you're supposed to be on that level, and this team needs a win. Right? Like, there are so many things that if they just win that game yesterday, that people are raving about the offense and they'd be going too far. They're raving about the defense. They'd still be going a little too far. They'd be raving about, obviously, Quinshon Judkins, who was tremendous in that game. They probably, some of those things would be hyperbole, but that's where you want to be. And instead, we have to have a frank conversation about how you played well enough to win and the coaches took the victory from you. And you cannot do that when the number one missive this year is don't lose the locker room. Because I'll tell you, and I think this is where you're going to go with this. He lost a lot of fans yesterday with the way he ended that game.
Yeah.
And there's no defending it. Like, if you defend Kevin Stefanski, I saw people throwing it to, oh, he trusted his defense. No, he butchered the clock. And then he trusted his defense.
I mean, it's been people that we have both gotten into knock him out, drag him out fights over Kevin Stefanski with that yesterday. We're like, all right, I guess I lose this. Yep. I guess I can no longer have this conversation where I defend Kevin Stefanski. That's where it was yesterday. And listen, I think is this darkest before dawn? I think maybe after the Steelers game might be that point. And then the schedule will ease up, and they're probably going to have a chance to win a couple games here and there, because you play the Titans, you play the Raiders, you play all these really bad teams coming up, so they'll look better, but right now it's the worst spot, for sure.
But this is always the math that I've been playing with the Browns, is because you're coming off 3-14, because I don't think Kevin is a truly great leader of men, right? He doesn't have the same tools to pull guys back in with. Like a Vrabel does, like I think a Kevin O'Connell does.
How about Vrabel last night? My goodness.
Ah, We'll go for it.
No, not like we didn't have him in the building or anything.
Well, no. You didn't have to.
Hey, when he was two-time coach, when he was in the building, did they think about talking to him about maybe being the head coach here? Did that come up at all?
I think they said something like, "Hey, Kevin, hey, Mike, we really like you. Go and join New England."
Was that a conversation? Oh yeah, no, it's been reported multiple places. Yeah. They never even sniffed the idea of giving him a head coaching opportunity here. So that's great. That went really well.
Maybe they were just hoping to backdoor some good clam chowder.
Maybe.
Right?
I'm sure he can send a nice gift package or something.
Like, hey, thanks for not hiring me.
Instead of sending an edible arrangement, Boston just sends like a big pot of clam chowder.
And Sam Adams.
Some lobster bisque.
Don't forget that whole thing of the oyster crackers as well. 216-474-0092. But no, it's been really interesting to watch fans turn on him. And again, this matters because while the schedule gets easier after the Steelers game, you still have to have the belief of winning. You have to have the belief that you've got the players in place. And when you start 1-4 and it's penalties, sloppy play, bad coaching, bad this, bad that, comedy of errors, it gets harder and harder to win, especially when you're coming off 3-14. And that's why yesterday was such a kick in the pants, because that can be. I'm not saying it has to be. I'm not saying it's fated to be. But that can be the turning point where this thing goes way worse than even I thought. And I said, give me the most competitive 4-13 team in America.
So here's what I'm bracing myself for. I'm bracing myself for this week when we have Ross on, when we have Albert on, when we have the big national pundits on. I'm bracing myself because I think instead of saying, yes, Stefanski blew that game, because you have to have we watch these games, you know, we take in all these games. Guys like Ross and Albert, it's a big league. They got a lot that they have to cover, right? And so I think instead of blaming Stefanski, I think they're gonna make the narrative be, well, with this team, with this roster, who could have done any better? And that game yesterday is a game we got to continue to point to, because there's a million coaches that would have left you leaving with a W yesterday.
216-474-0092. Who lost the game yesterday, Stefanski or the defense? We got to get into some of the good. Not silver linings. We're not doing that. A little Quinshon Judkins love coming up. But let's go with Rick in Menor. Rick, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing?
Honestly, I think I'm better because I had the 3 extra hours to react to. I think if that had been a 1 p.m. kickoff, I might still be really, 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 really mad. I'm just really, really mad now.
Well, let me start off. I'm a season ticket holder of 51 years.
Well done.
And you know what I've noticed about Kevin Stefanski? Number one, he's a terrible game management coach. Just for example, we had one play where they gained 9 yards on the first play. Then there was a penalty that was pushed us back 5 additional yards. The very next play, we were called for delay of game, and he did not use a timeout to stop that penalty. At the halftime of that game, we still had 3 timeouts. He never used a timeout. He's got too much into that sheet of paper that he holds in front of his face rather than coaching the team or letting his other coaches coach the team.
So I agree to a big degree. And actually, one of the things we probably haven't, and thank you for the call, Rick. And thank you for those 51 years. One of these days, we'll get one. We'll get back to the playoffs eventually.
The Browns thank him too. That's a lot of money.
The playing for a field goal. When you have the ability to march down the field in the first half, I didn't think that was a good look either. Like that, I understand you're going with a conservative game plan, but when you've got time and your offense actually had some momentum in the first half, I don't mind if you end up settling for a third for three. It felt like they were playing for three, and that that's a new age coaching thing, and it does irritate the living hell out of me.
I did think they got a little scared in that, just the idea that, so Gabriel almost had the interception in the very first part of that drive, and then later on in that drive, he almost had another turnover as well. It was odd, because it was probably one of the better Dylan Gabriel like sequences that we saw, and he almost turned the ball over twice in that stretch. It's just different.
I was thinking back to it. Now that pisses me off, too. 216-474-0092. Let's go with Adam in Olmsted Township. Adam, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me. Don't forget, this is the same coach that on first and goal from the inch line ran Flacco, second and goal from the inch line ran Flacco, and then threw to a backup center thinking he was just going to trick the world. This guy is a goon. It can't be ignored anymore. he thinks he's too smart for everybody. He can't just play basic football. He's got his face buried in that sheet and on a computer. Just, if you want to do all the computer, just have the computer coach the game. What's the point of even having him on the sideline then?
I mean, don't give NFL owners that out, because they absolutely will start trying to do that to cut costs. Adam, we appreciate you, buddy.
Some teams have kind of thought about that stuff, right? Like, for years, I used to always say, you just need to go to MIT and hire a game theorist and just have them on the sidelines and have them tell them the right times to take the timeout. And not, because right now, we're doing a lot of complaining about timeouts and delay of game penalties where you should have used timeouts. That stuff can all be fixed. You can't hire guys to tell you the right time, and teams are doing this. With Stefanski, it goes more to the idea that just his play calling was awful. And you had as many third down conversions as you did fourth down conversions. Like, you're just not going to win football games that way.
They are still paying Paul DePodesta, right? Right?
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, he's made Haslam some money, so why don't we just slide him right into a head coach role? You know why I'm saying that, right? Because we could fire him in 2 years. Finally, we'd be able to get rid of him.
We could just get rid of him.
By the way, I don't think Kevin is too smart. I don't think he's... I don't think it's the I'm smarter than you thing, but I do think he's very stubborn. And I think that is...
I think he's cocky, too, in a way that people don't want to admit.
Yeah. So maybe it is. Maybe if he's stubborn and he's cocky, maybe it is the I'm smarter than you thing. But it's weird to watch him vacillate between I'm incredibly... conservative, I'm incredibly stubborn, and then on 3rd and 11, I'm going to try and win the game with one pass with a rookie quarterback whose big problem seems to be the exact throw he was trying to make.
It just doesn't make any sense. All game, he didn't let Dylan Gabriel do anything like that, and when he did, he sailed the ball 25 feet high because he's, you know, 3 feet tall, and so when he throws the ball, he's going to always airmail it.
By the way,
that's a reality for him.
If they had won, I was going to look right into that camera, right to YouTube, and say... Because you won, because Dylan was good enough to win, I'm not going to call him Timu Tua anymore. I can't have that conversation anymore.
Oh, I initially called him Welfare Tua.
He's a little guy.
Did you call him Timu Tua?
So I couldn't remember.
That's harder to say.
It is, but I think it stings harder. But you know why it came up? Because I couldn't remember what you called him.
Oh, okay.
At one point, I thought you called him Welfare Tua.
Welfare Tua.
And then it was Discount Tua, and so I just came up with Timu Tua.
We really hung on to Welfare Tua for the large portion of the last part of him being at Oregon.
And I think we have a real
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Point there. I'm sorry, when you switch quarterbacks and you're still having drops the way Jerry had yesterday and just big moments, at some point you just are who you are in the NFL, and we just can't wait. You know, at some point, catching is one of the two biggest things you can do as a wide receiver. Maybe start doing that.
Yeah, and I mean, he led the league in drops last year, so this is like it didn't come out of nowhere. It's been a thing for him. It's just the amount of people that took victory laps on him being this number one wide receiver, just it was a little too premature, guys.
Well, and listen, I am willing to, okay, his quarterbacks have been Deshaun Watson, DTR, Jameis Winston, Joe Flacco, and now Dylan Gabriel. So I understand he's not getting thrown to by Josh Allen, but okay. You still need to catch the ball, and you can't lead the league in drops. And I think when drops happen, matter.
And that was a critical play.
He does seem to make critical drops.
Listen, that's the rule in football. Obviously, the ball can't touch the ground. It is what it is. But like that's a different drop to me than when you just have it hit right off your hands or bounce off your chest or something like that. Like that was, you're trying to make an athletic football play, and you just didn't secure it enough.
Also, I like 1 foot down in college.
I do, too.
I know it'd be ridiculous in the NFL.
It would look ridiculous because they're so much more athletic, so they can pull off just these ridiculous feats. But, yes, it sucks because in that instance, you're like in every scenario. If you're playing backyard football, Jerry Jeudy caught that pass.
Yeah. And, one other thing we do have to talk about is how 3 points got taken off the board for Minnesota because I can't remember their kicker's name, but he went to kick that field goal. And it hit the wire going Riker. Across.
Yeah, so actually I wanted to spend a couple minutes talking about that just in general because I think it's really interesting. There was two plays in yesterday's slate of games where it was interrupted by the SkyCam wire. Here's my problem with this, though. Jonathan Vilma, I ripped you in my head for calling him Daniel instead of Dylan Gabriel. That wasn't great. I also ripped him at times because you called, I think it was Alex Wright, Isaac Wright or something like that. He kept mixing up the D-line. You had a fight to London. You couldn't study the players. But how is it a football hits a wire in a critical part of the game, 17-14, down three, it hits the wire, no mention on the broadcast.
So this
not a single mention from the broadcast.
This is another big thing that I think drives me absolutely bonkers. It's not bad enough that the Browns have been bad and unwatchable the last 2 years, but then the TV announcers have to be unwatchable as well.
I like Kenny Albert. I think he does. He does a good job. But Jonathan Vilma, where were you yesterday?
Well, but I think the problem
What did you do on that flight? Watch what new movies come out recently? Was he busy watching Netflix or something? What happened there?
If he did, I just want to know the show. But I do
think it had to have been riveting because he wasn't watching who was on the team.
I think there are more better play by play guys than there are color analysts in the NFL. And I think, like, between Vilma and Archuleta and just a steady dose, like, it feels like Christmas when we get Ross Tucker on a game. Because I'm like, oh, he's going to be entertaining, and he's going to say names right.
I've never seen anything like it in my life. Just under 10 minutes to go, 17-14 game, a critical moment, a ball hits off of a wire, and nobody said anything. No, the kicker didn't say anything. The players on the field didn't say anything. Fine. They don't have replays. They don't have slow-mo. Everyone watched that ball go a completely different direction. Jonathan Vilma watched that ball go a completely different direction. Didn't say a word.
Also,
what are we doing?
How did the refs miss that?
I have no idea.
Like,
you know the amount of money that's involved in these games?
And are they just looking up at the uprights?
And everyone just sat there and just said, oh, yeah, of course that ball just veered 15 yards to the right as if it was a slice off the tee.
All right.
What was that?
Now, I also have to admit, I didn't pick it up either. I thought it was weird in the moment. I was like, wow, that went one direction and then another. I did not even think about the damn trip cam or the trip wire.
I texted a buddy of mine because like 6 hours later, I was watching Football Night in America and Florio had it highlighted because he had both them and he put them side by side and everything. And I texted a buddy of mine and was like, I know you watched the Browns game. Like in that moment, were you like freaking out, losing your mind? He's like, no, I had no idea it happened either.
Nope.
He's like, I just completely lost it.
Like, but it's their job to notice it, not mine.
Like, what happened here? Like, geez, that it was so wild to me in so many days. Like, I'll remember that for the next 25 years of the fact that it hit the ball, should have been a clear re-kick. And in one of the odd ways, if the Browns had won that game, it would have been one of those like, wow, the Browns just never get these breaks.
Yeah.
Never have that happen.
And then
us.
We would have been able to say the Green Bay win as well. Okay, two times in 3 weeks. You never get those breaks. But instead, we're like, well, two times in 3 weeks, you've lost your ass. Let's stop talking about the Browns. 216-474-0092. Let's go with Nathan in Elyria. Welcome to the show.
Hey.
Hey.
So Kevin Stefanski is terrible. 19 out of 22 games, we have not scored more than 20 points in the last 2 years. You tell me what coordinator, what coach deserves to keep their job after that?
No, none of them do. None of them do.
I was just gonna have an awkward pause
there. I thought you were going to. No, none of them do.
JP saw my eyes going off to dreamland because I'm like, we're just gonna let this one breathe for a second.
Yeah, and then okay, so how many players have we actually developed here? How many quarterbacks are we actually gonna develop? We haven't developed anybody. We haven't done anything with the talent. If anything, he's taken a Super Bowl ready team and decimated it because they wanted to think group and get Deshaun Watson, and we lost he's down there in Tampa now, having an MVP type season.
Yeah, that didn't help.
No, in a battle of him versus Darnold, it looked like it was the two greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen.
Okay, in fairness, that might actually Cleveland might have been the only market. Charlotte was a market that if the Panthers had lost that game, they would have then had a bigger meltdown than we had about the Baker thing. But then they end up winning that damn game, so we ended up get to take the biggest, you know what, fit out of it.
It looked like Tom Brady versus Tom Brady.
It did.
What was that game? That was insane.
That was the number one pick of that draft to the number three pick in that draft. Nathan, be good, buddy.
All right.
Thanks, Nathan.
I'm going to continue to go back to this. When it comes to Kevin, I can't trust you to be a leader of men, because that's just not who you are, right? That's, he's not a Vrabel. And I have to try and make peace with that, right? That's tough for me, because I think it's like the number one thing you can do. I think we have sucked the leadership out of NFL head coaches because we assumed that Shanahan can't lead or McVay can't lead. The reality is leading looks a lot of different ways. One of the best ways those guys know how to lead is communication. That's another thing that I don't think is done well since Callahan and Alex Van Pelt were either let go, whatever however you think that played out. But here's one more thing. I cannot stand to watch this team make 10-plus penalties a game. And it has been one of the tried-and-true things with Kevin Stefanski.
They've been top 10 every single year he's been the coach.
And the whole point, everybody is across the league. You can't focus on everything. The amount of excuses for that he's gotten when you try and ask somebody on a high level about that is mind-numbing. Because that is the other part of yesterday. I know you can't help what's going on with the offensive line. Although I don't think rotating left tackles, this isn't Penn State versus University of Texas San Antonio. So if we could stop the rotating tackle thing, that'd be real great. Because that did not help anything yesterday. And it's the second time in 5 weeks. And it's a dunderheaded approach, whoever's doing it. But there are just certain things. Like there are going to be, if you're playing young guys, you're going to have procedural penalties. You're going to have some penalties. They walked into a team with a bunch of young veterans, and then they developed those veterans, or some of them, over time. Like, this is the first time they've been an exceptionally young team, and no matter how many veterans, no matter how many young guys you have, it's been penalty central. So I can't count on your leadership. Yeah, I mean,
come from the offensive line. It has to be. I mean, the large majority of them. Like, yeah, Miles has gotten a pre-snap penalty. It seems like every game for jumping off too early. But the majority of these have come from the offensive line.
But I can't trust your leadership, or I can't count on your leadership the way I could have Vrabel. I can't count on your communication without Callahan or Van Pelt. I can't count on your game management.
Well, you're supposed to be the offensive whiz. That's supposed to be what you're good at. And now for the 10th straight game, dating back to last season, they failed to score more than 17 points.
And so the bigger picture conversation, which I know we will be having, I know that it's only going to get worse from here until they get a win again. That is premature. But when you start to look at the body of work, you cannot deny that a lot of people saw what happened yesterday and finally took off the brown and orange colored glasses when it came to Stefanski. And that does feel like a step forward for the Browns, because we've had the Stefanski wars the last 2 years as well.
I'll tell you another thing that didn't help. Between the Darnold and Baker game, I'd add on the McCorkle-Jones game that happened.
Mm.
Your guy McCorkle. Mac Jones seeing a dead body and then turning around and throwing for 350 yards or however many
Very
he threw.
Very sick sense of him.
It was...
Oh, wait, he saw a dead person.
Dead person. Yeah. It was...
Spoiler, by the way.
Spoiler. Well, yeah, I think you can give out spoilers for movies that happened 30 years ago. I think that's okay.
If somebody's just watching The Sixth Sense right now, my bad, dog.
It's quarterback number 12 he's had, though. And we watch all these other head coaches get one or two that are considered to be a backup, and they turn him into something. We're on number 12 with Stefanski, and we have not seen him turn any of them into something that we consider to be good to great.
I'm just glad no one tried to do the mental gymnastics of somehow blaming yesterday on Jimmy Haslam. Because every time Kevin Stefanski has something we can hold him accountable for, it somehow becomes Jimmy Haslam's fault. I'm glad that didn't happen yesterday.
I'm sure it happened in corners of the internet that we're just not searching on
the dark
and playing
web.
On. Yeah, the dark web was very mad at Haslam yesterday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.